Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner and I have here Tony Coulson. Dr. Tony Coulson's in the house. And we are talking all about tonight the metaverse. And I put out one email to my list. Don't know who's going to show. I didn't push it too hard. I know Tony shared a little bit about it. But folks, we would love to hear where you're from. We have Ricky on the comments. The big question of the night is that the metaverse is growing. Tony, did you know the other day that Napa Auto Parts started a metaverse presence? I mean, every day there's something new. And Tony, you came to me a few weeks ago, months ago, and said, I hear you talking about this. You, of course, are still a pastor. And you said, hey, we need to talk about this and see what other questions people have. Some people send me emails and said that I'm being led by Satan and leading people into portals that are demonic. And listen, you know, I'm not mocking those people. Hey, pray for me. I'll take any prayer I can get. Other people say, look, this is exactly where we need to be. We need to be lights in the darkness. We're going to talk tonight about the pros and cons. You're a dad of how many? Four. I'm a dad of three teenagers. So this is not, hey, let's just talk about this. And no, man, you got kids upstairs. I do too. And they're in this thing. So Tony, first of all, let's start right out of the gate by saying that we would love for people to share this right now with their pastor or anybody that our friends, family, parents, metaverse. We're going to be talking about metaverse, crypto, NFTs, 5G. We're going to be talking about augmented reality, virtual reality. I mean, you name it. And just to set this up, I will tell people that we're going to be talking more about faith than some people might be used to, because that's kind of the context today. Can faith exist in the metaverse? So Tony, I'm going to give you the floor. You're the facilitator. You came up with questions. I took a peek at them once. I don't even have them right now. And we're going to let other people like Grace. And thank you, Grace, for being here. Jump in, Tony. Why are we even talking about this tonight from your perspective?
Well, I do want to just encourage everyone to engage with us. We will be monitoring the chat so that if you do have questions that we haven't actually prepared to ask, then use the comments and give us an opportunity to dialogue with you. And this isn't we already talked about this. This isn't a sales thing, but here's what you told me before we went live that you have some books that you're going to give away. And so one of the burdens that I have, Carrie, is for pastors to become aware of the metaverse and the blockchain and the coming reality.
Yeah.
And so what I want to do is to challenge our viewers who, if you'll tag your pastor, if you will let us know your pastor's name and the church name, Carrie's going to give them for free, but our church will pay the shipping, so it'll be completely free.
Wow.
And so if you will do that for us, this is my burden. I believe. Tell us about the two books real quick.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I grew up in a very good home, but I'm going to say it was the way I handled spirituality was to withdraw from culture. Mm. And I was scared of culture because I didn't have a strong enough faith. I thought that peer pressure would crush me. And so what I did is I became what I call a separatist. And when I first started my book, this was my very first book. It's almost 20 years old. Can you believe that? Wow. It's 2004. Relevant Magazine published it. But I'll tell you what, we're gonna give these away. These are the last books on earth of this. They've all died somewhere. So I have just a few more copies, and that sounds like I'm giving them free and you're covering shipping. So thanks. So we already have some people that are tagging people. But the reason why I wrote this book, in fact, I'm going to show a little chart here because this is pretty cool. I talk in the book how, and this gets right into the metaverse, I talk about how Christ and culture are on two sides, faith and culture. And I was a separatist, Tony. So I was what was called a deceived God lover. In other words, I gravitated towards the rules. I was the older brother in the prodigal son. And why? Because it was black and white. Because I could have control. Because I had my faith that was all spelled out in a little rule book. And I didn't even need to love people. In fact, yeah. I didn't like people because I thought, you know, people can taint me. People can, you know, and of course I wouldn't say this to people, but this was in my heart. And what these people struggle with is pride because they're like, hey man, look at my spirituality. Right now. What's interesting is the other extreme. Can you guess what the other extreme might be? It's not separatist.
Religious.
Check it out. Conformist.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay. So a conformist is a deceived people lover. They're like, oh man, look at man. I'm hanging out with all these people. And, you know, and what they begin to do is the separatist goes out of the world. The conformist is of the world. Yeah. And so you might say, well, gee, what is the solution? And again, I had to write this book, Tony, because I honestly didn't have the answer. I mean, I wrote this book as a young 20-something way back in the day. And this is a transformist, a God lover and a people lover. They balance faith and culture.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even that little example right there, it helped a lot of people because when this book came out, a lot of people were saying, oh, man, listen, cussing on stage is relevance, or playing secular music is relevance, or, you know, drinking the beers with the Bible is relevance, you know, or other people said, no, relevance is where you picket everything and everybody. Yeah. Right. So a transformist was like me trying to say, this is my faith that I'm going to live out. And I'll tell you what, Tony, a lot of it is gray.
Yeah.
Which is what the metaverse, people want to say right now, oh, the way I'm going to handle the metaverse is I'm just going to jump in there and anything goes. And that's like the conformist. The separatist is probably going to say, hey, listen, I'm not even touching the metaverse. Well, here's what's interesting. And I'm going to teach people tonight. You're already in the metaverse. Like technically right now, we're in the metaverse. And what I want people to realize is the metaverse is a spectrum. Some people think, whoa, VR goggles. Okay, that might be an extreme. But the definition of the metaverse, I want people to realize this, and I'm actually going to show a screenshot here in a moment. But here's what it is, Tony. It is a embodied internet.
Okay.
It is, and what I mean by that is it's an experienced internet. The internet of Web 1, and I'll show a chart here in a moment. But the Web 1 was a reading internet. We read information, okay? And I have a whole chart, and I can show that in a moment. But I get excited about this, and I want you to rock and roll. There's a lot of people being tagged. And Ricky, if you can ask people if they are pastors, again, Tony's church is covering shipping. I'm giving the books free. We want to create a revival here tonight.
Yeah. So you already started diving in. Tim Ferguson asked, what is the definition of the metaverse? And you know, just to reiterate one last time, and then we're going to get into this content. If you will tag your pastor and give us their church name, and we're going to, I don't know how we get their addresses and all that stuff, but regardless of that right now, we want, my burden is this, I believe, is going to change our lives. It's going to change our culture, and it's going to change the church. And my desire is to be a front runner to say, let's get ready for this so that we're not lagging behind, because here's the reality of it. Whether the church isn't in it right now, by and large, I know of maybe three churches that are doing church in the metaverse. We'll talk about that. But by and large, the church is not in it right now. But here's who is in it. Our kids.
Snoop Dogg's growing weed in the metaverse. And you might be like, what the heck? Are you being serious? But I am.
Yeah. So it's crazy. So and my son, he's probably in it right now upstairs with the goggles on, you know. And what I want you to know is, you're watching right now, this is not going to be about just the gaming aspect of it. This is going to open your eyes to see where the world is headed.
Yeah.
And I have learned already from Carrie. Carrie's become an expert in the last 12 months. And I wanted him to be able to speak into us as a community of believers. And my heart, my burden is for pastors to be able to equip their churches to be light and salt in this moment of our culture. And so relevancy means that we show up as salt and life in the moment so that Jesus's name can be glorified and that his presence can have an impact on the world. And so with that, revisit that question Tim Ferguson says, you leaned into it. To what is the metaverse?
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to do. One is, I just popped an article in that says, if you're waiting for the metaverse revolution, you've already missed it. And that's not to be funny, but it's basically to show that we've actually been in the metaverse for several years. We're just now promoting it. We've finally defined it. But let me define it for you. I get this from a fantastic article. I'm going to show it to you right here. And can you see this, Tony?
I can.
Okay. So I get this from actually a legal, because right now there's a lot of lawyers that are having to rule within the metaverse, because you have crimes happening, you have contracts happening. It's not all negative. But here's what they say. Okay. So this is a legal article that gives, I read this the other day and I'm like, dang, they really get it. So, and I'll unpack these, but the metaverse is a persistent digital environment that will allow people to seamlessly transition between their physical and virtual worlds. Now you might say, what are you talking about, Carrie? Let me give you an example. You go to Starbucks, Tony, and you hand them your app, and on the app you've earned stars.
Yeah.
Okay. You're paying with stars. Like, what the heck is that? Right. But we've gone there. Kroger, which is a grocery store near us, Smoothie King, you know, I order through my app and I earn points. Like, what we've missed is the fact that
there's my Starbucks.
Yeah. So I would love for people to put in the comments how they are integrating the physical world and the digital world. Another example, Tony, you've seen this in our conferences. We'll interact so much in Facebook groups over the last decade that when people meet each other, they're like, oh my gosh, you look like your profile picture, or whoa, you know, I finally get to see you in person. In other words, you've existed with that person's digital presence for years.
Yeah.
And only now so we've gone way past this, hey, physical world is over here, digital world is over here. We've truly mixed. And let me give you an example, Tony. There's sports teams where you can get fired. You can get fired because of what you post digitally. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want people to realize, like, there are consequences for the digital world where you won't get certain scholarships. You can get fired from your job. You can get sued. You can be guilty of slander, and it was your digital avatar. Does this make sense?
Right. Okay.
So I want people to realize, like, it's very noble to be like, yeah, the metaverse is all wrong. Well, technically, if you have a mobile phone and you're showing up on Zoom, you are in the metaverse on some level. But let me go back to that screen because it is important to define it. And I think that this will start helping people rise. Okay, now that I'm in it, Zoom. Samantha says Zoom, absolutely.
Yeah, Lily says she puts a QR code on her real estate flyer.
Yes. So
that's another thing that we're seeing more and more of, the QR codes for
Menus, right? When COVID happened, they wouldn't give you a paper menu. They would often give you a QR code, and now you're ordering your physical food through a digital menu. That's called the integration of the worlds.
We have a QR code on our back of our chairs.
Yes.
So that when you sit down in the sanctuary, it says what to expect. You can take your phone with the QR code, and now you're reading about what to expect in the service without talking to anyone.
I just came back from a conference, EOS, in Orlando, Florida. After every session, they put a QR code up, and you were supposed to complete a digital survey of what you thought of the physical speaker. Yes. So again, I want people to realize, like, what's interesting. Some people might say, well, geez, Second Life has been around for 20 years. Yeah. Here's what's interesting though, Tony. We're now converging multiple technologies that I'll talk about in a moment. That's why the world's going to change.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Let me, the terminology is
Web 1, Web 2, Web 3. And
I'll show that in a moment. I'll go through this really quick. While much of it remains aspirational, see, so some people are like, yeah, whatever. I go on the metaverse and we look like little Lego characters. What's the big deal? Listen, you also used to have dial-up internet where you would sit there and hear buzzes and beeps, and it would take you a long time to even connect to the internet. The point is this, the stage is set.
Yeah.
We now have 5G, and I'll get into this more, but we have everything set, crypto, the currency, decentralization. You have everything set for the stage to create this massively fast scaling up, and you'll be blown away what happens in 12 months. But to go back, here's what I'm talking about. Immersive virtual worlds. So yes, video games have existed, but I'll tell you what has never existed. The fact that your avatar can go from world to world to world. Just like you go into a mall and you walk into Walmart and Meijer and Gap. But here's what's interesting. Now your avatar, which is your digital manifestation of your personality, now you can deck that avatar out with NFTs, which are non-fungible tokens of digitized clothing. And again, the person who's sitting here is probably going to be like, that's the lamest thing I've ever heard. Some people will say that. I get it, but let me explain what this is. NFTs are not little JPEG pictures of millions of dollars, of bored apes, okay? If that's all you think of an NFT is, you're just reading the headlines.
Yeah.
What an NFT is going to be is anything that you see. This water bottle will one day become an NFT. Why? Because I may lose this thing and someone will say, that's not yours. And ownership is now tied to an NFT. You and I are authors. We can absolutely, on the back of our book, have a barcode, which is an ISBN number. But now we can also have an NFT that proves that Tony is the author, his book in the back there. So IP is going to be digitized. Products are going to be digitized. Right now, they are selling shoes now all over the place. We're talking Gucci. We're talking Nike. We're talking Adidas. Everyone's jumping in the metaverse because they realize that the blend and blur between digital and physical has already been broken 20 years now. But it's scaling up at a massively fast pace.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's part of, there's so much. I guess I think that's why it's so hard to kind of get started in this conversation. And for somebody that doesn't know anything at all about it, what we've talked about, maybe you've seen as it relates to what you experienced with Zoom or with current websites and all of those things. But I love what you just said. You said it's an experiential internet.
Internet experience. Yep. You are no longer a spectator. You're no longer passively consuming. You're experiencing. And Tony, if people are like Susan, you know, great, great comment. She says it's very sad that in some respects, you know, we're not having physical contact. But here's what happened. When COVID happened, it absolutely escalated this whole thing. Think about it. We used to tell our kids, step away from the computer, kids. Step away from the screen. No more screen time. Now we're telling our kids, go up in your room and get on the screen because school's starting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And so let's just talk about that just for a second, because something I think that you said in Unhackable, your book, you were talking about being in two places at one time.
Yes. It's called digiphrenia.
Digiphrenia. And so, but we look at the scriptures and Jesus, you brought this point out. You said Jesus healed someone miles away.
Yes.
Even though his physical presence was here, his power was there.
Yes.
Now, what this does for us in our technology is it doesn't constrain us. Now, the limitation, of course, is that it's not physical, but also that's not a limitation.
Yes.
Is that I can now go into someone's room in another country and the power of God can touch their life.
It's unbelievable. And what people are going to see is they're going to see tonight massive pros and they're going to see massive cons.
Yes.
We've talked about some of the pros. Let me just freak people out a little bit because I think we need to be freaked out a little bit. If you thought sin was interesting and wild before, wait till you get to the metaverse. I mean, literally, if you've ever seen Ready Player One, so I'm going to recommend Ready Player One. It's a movie that talks about a society, future society. It actually happens in Ohio, which is interesting. But anyway, long story short, it's where people essentially plug into the Oasis. You know, the Matrix was the Matrix. This is the Oasis. There's a movie with Scarlett Johansson called The Island, you know, but we've seen lots of movies, sci-fi, but very soon, including now, you're going to be able to get a haptic suit, which is a suit that gives your body the sensation. I mean, think about back in the day, we used to have Mike Tyson punch out where you had a glove.
Right.
I mean, again, this has been decades, folks. Okay. But anyway, now you're going to be able to not just put on goggles, you're going to be able to put on a haptic suit where someday, it's even happening now, you will be able to have sexual encounters in the metaverse. And you talk about like, wow, like cheating on people, but it's virtual, but it's not. And it's actually recorded and everything that happens is digitized. I mean, like you're talking like, whoa. And if you think that's crazy, I mean, right now we're in this, hey, gender, transgender. Well, that's nothing compared to trans species. And I've talked to you about some of this. There's a movement going on right now where we essentially, right now, I mean, today, if you have a limb that is severed, you can have a prosthetic which has brain computer interface. This is not theory anymore. You can go online and see a chimpanzee playing Pong with its mind. Okay, so we've now moved into this where we've merged technology and brain interface. And where this is going someday very soon, if you look at transhumanism, and again, I'm not suggesting transhumanism, but here's what I am saying. I'm saying a lot of us on this call right now think as transhumanism. Tell me the last time you went a week without your smartphone. Or me. Try never. So in other words, this hasn't been implanted yet, but this is now, Elon Musk says, it's become an appendage where literally you try to make it through your day or a few hours without this device. We just haven't implanted it yet.
Right.
But we're moving that way.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's burdening to me, for us as a church, not to watch in the distance while it happens, because if we don't engage, then godless minds will make decisions on what's right and wrong.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we have to engage so that we can speak into the morality of transhumanism, the morality of connecting machines with man, and all of these different questions. And we won't be able to dialogue intelligently if we don't engage now with the process or the journey of learning. Yes. And, you know, that I know people are thinking, wow, that's a long ways off on the phone. But you showed me an article about the gentleman who implanted the antenna in his head.
Oh, yeah.
And absolutely. Had to be given access to another country, right?
I'm going to show people just so people can see a picture of this, because
I think, so I'm just going to encourage you. Y'all need to share this, because a lot of people aren't aware of where this is headed. It is much more than gaming. It's much more than just a few corporate entities showing up in the metaverse. It's going to change everything.
Yeah. So what's odd today? Think about it. What was odd in my day? In my day, maybe a tattoo was odd. Maybe a piercing was odd. Well, today it's like, this is a guy that doesn't just have a little thing sticking out of his head. He had it implanted. And again, we're showing this as an extreme form, but here's the reality. The UK gave this man a passport. At first, they rejected it because they said, we don't allow devices. And he's like, hey, listen, I had surgery. This antenna allows me to, guess what? Feel color. So you have, and again, people are like, what? But let's take it to another extreme. That same prosthetic that I said some people are getting right now, military, people who are in accidents, what happens when that brain-computer interface leg helps you run as a Olympic sprinter, not a 100-yard dash, but 100 miles?
Yeah.
Okay. See, this is what I'm talking about. Like, we are very close, because what happens first is the thought. See, scripture tells us to take every thought captive. And Tony, it would be so easy for some people to say, well, let's just throw out technology. Okay, what about a pacemaker?
Yeah.
What about, I'll tell you what, certain types of hearing aids. This is, by the way, I'm not offending anybody, hopefully, here, but maybe I am. I've read a lot on this, and there's some implants that the deaf community rejects, some of their own who get a certain surgery, because now they can hear and they've left the American sign language. Essentially, they've left their tribe.
Right. And, you know, that's, this whole concept also is even significantly important to me. I have a daughter who was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've shared this with you or not, but they're actually working on an implant that would go into the skull and it would replace the pancreas.
Wow.
And so they're actually running trials on it right now and have had success on. And if that changes the game, no more insulin, no more shots, no more putting the fingers. And so there is a moral consideration here that makes sense.
Yeah. Where I've had to go, Tony, is motives.
Yeah.
Because I've looked at all this and I've said, okay, let's say I have a parent who's aging, and, you know, I started to put myself in some of these situations where what if a technological enhancement could help them or fight dementia or some of these things where you're like, well, in that case, it's okay. Well, what about if you just want to choose technological enhancements? So we are moving into some very deep territory. It starts with thoughts and thinking. And that's why we're even talking about this today. I think it's too easy to just say, I'm going to accept everything or I'm going to reject everything. That's easy. Oh, yeah. Let's reject everything or let's accept everything. But I'll have you know, Tony, that this has never been an easy conversation.
Right.
Back in the day, there were certain churches that would not let you put a lightning rod on your barn because they said that you were choosing to influence an act of God.
Wow.
The Luddites was a term where they would actually destroy technological implements that would speed up production and efficiency because they felt like spirituality was, you know, a slow pace. And what if we're moving too fast? So this is something every generation has had to deal with. But what's new, Tony, is that you put currency, cryptocurrency, you put a new version of reality. You put 5G, which allows this technology to just explode. You right. now have video games that you've seen your son's video games. They don't even, movie producers are now using gaming engines to mimic movie scenes. So we truly, if you want to take this to the extreme, there are some people that are saying we are becoming gods.
Yeah. And I think that this brings us to a good spot. Because I feel like now everybody's like, oh, this is real and it's right here. But
and Lego spent $2 billion 2 weeks ago on building the metaverse. Like, I want people to realize this isn't just a fad. If you start looking at all the companies that are starting to put billions in, you start realizing, okay, this isn't some little just fad.
Well, without getting too academic, right? Yeah. Because I know you, as you say, your words, I geek out on this stuff.
I do, yeah.
And like Blockchain Life, which is our header, is your podcast. You talk about all of these different things.
Yeah.
But why does this work? Why does the metaverse make sense in the sense of crypto, NFTs, blockchain?
Yeah.
Why does all of those things come together to make it possible for the first time ever? And yeah. place us in this position as a church and as a Christian community to say we can't wait to get involved.
Yeah. Well, there you know of a church, maybe they'll watch this, who knows, but Life Church out of Oklahoma, they already as of December said we're going into the metaverse, and they have a church service in the metaverse, and people have literally made decisions to come to Christ.
Yeah.
And people can find that. Ricky, if you could drop in that link. But I would say most churches today, you tell me if I'm wrong, Tony, but most churches today probably stream their service or put their service online.
Yeah, we had to.
Yeah. So, I mean, especially during COVID.
Right.
So what I want people to realize is like, I mean, I'm talking like I have Jewish friends that put their service. I have Catholic friends. Everybody, you know, has realized we need to create virtual experiences. So what makes it cross the line? You know, some people are saying, we shouldn't go into the metaverse. Well, what's crossing the line when you put in goggles? Like, is that satanic? Is that where it becomes? No. So there, we want these lines, Tony, but here's what I think I go to. I go to motives.
Yeah.
Okay. So I go to like my confidence. Again, I want to show you this really quick because it's now affecting governance. Okay. There's a lot of places right now that they're saying, how do we even judge? Like, what happens if you abuse somebody in the metaverse? Can you go to jail? You see, what happens if you steal someone's property in the metaverse? Can you get
right.
So governance is becoming a real issue. Blockchain technology means that it's decentralized, which means that right now Google can shut you down via YouTube. You can get kicked off Facebook. You can get banned on Twitter. The blockchain allows this trustless, permissionless platform where essentially it levels the playing field. Because right now, do you know what's happening with Twitter and Elon Musk? I mean, it's creating visceral reactions between free speech and the New York Times. what people have realized is that's an example, Tony, of information that's become distributed. We all became vloggers, bloggers. Well, now currency is becoming that way. Truth is kind of becoming that way. I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Right.
But you start seeing this, we don't trust the centralized anything anymore.
Right. And just to kind of speak to that, and you're asking yourself maybe how can you create a trustless society? And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that basically there are millions of computers around the world that are participating in this grid called the blockchain.
Yep.
And so basically when information comes in, it pings the participating computers, which verifies its credibility. And the reason it's trustless is because it would be almost, I mean, I guess it is impossible to break the chain, because you would have to hack 51%
of computers. Yes.
And that's where, so like right now in our current world, centralized government, if you have a politician who becomes fraudulent, then their office is the only place that has to go bad.
Yeah.
Where it could impact the governance of the world. But in this case, 51% of this blockchain that's protecting the credibility of the community, in other words, would have to go bad.
Right.
And that's just not going to happen. That's why everyone is jumping into this, because it creates this trustless. You don't have to trust the person you're doing business with.
Exactly.
You know it's going to be protected.
And here's the three events, Tony, that I think led to this. Again, because, you know, people might be like, dude, I thought you were a publisher. You know, I am. But I'm also passionate about IP, and authors create IP.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that here's the three events that happened. Number one, it was the housing market, where we trusted a ledger that said these are good loans, there's really money, and we put a lot of trust in a centralized entity that then became revealed it for what it was.
Right.
And our trust was eroded. But then we were like, okay, we like centralized governments and centralized entities, so we kind of said we'll just stick with it. Well, then along comes 2016 with the voting. And whether you voted Republican, Democrat, whatever, you saw this trust eroding.
Right.
With, are we a democracy? Do my votes really count? Is there hypocrisy? You saw a centralized government being doubted. And then when the social dilemma came out and exposed, like, hey, what's on Tony's feed is different than my feed. Why? Because they're trying to get me to come back to the platform. So really, your version of truth is being distorted. Social dilemma was like, most people blew up. And then the third event was Corona.
Right.
Where you saw a certain government, nothing against any government, but you said you saw a certain government that said, we got this thing under control. There's no cases. And the ledger was doubted. So you have three global events that affected the world, and each one kind of eroded our trust in the centralized entity, which now is paving the way for Web3. And I can go through that chart really quick if it's going to help some people, but then we can get into questions too, whatever you want, my friend.
Well, why don't you just take a glance at that chart? Because I think that it is important for people to get a concept of where we're headed.
Yeah.
And then we'll do some questions. And then, I kind of want to bring some conclusion. There's so much more to talk about.
Yeah.
But my main desire, my main goal is to help pastors understand, number one, that they have to engage their congregations in this reality. And number two is to equip our faith community with the tools and the resources needed to be able to become a relevant, I love that, a relevant salt and light impact in our culture.
Yeah.
This is not going to go away.
Yeah.
And so we have to make a decision now to engage.
And like you and I said and thought and prayed about, we just knew we needed to do this tonight. We don't know if there's going to be more. If people out there today say, oh my gosh, it's starting to make sense. Cause I'll be honest, Tony, for a lot of months, I was very confused.
Yeah.
Because it's called a rabbit hole for a reason. And the deeper you go, you're like, whoa, this affects everything.
Right.
Well, now I'm starting to make sense of it. In fact, I'm writing a book around it called Blockchain Life with a awesome co-author named Lee Richter. But here's the point. This helps me. Whenever I don't understand something, I have to like solve it for myself. But if you look in the red here, this is all the different components. You have access, assets, attraction, you know. And people can take a screenshot of this, go ahead. I think it will help you. Mm-hmm. Because we grew up in the 90s with Web 1. And people might look at this and be like, whoa, I remember clip art. The main thing that I'm just going to highlight is one row today, and that is motto. So in Web 1, they created and they owned, meaning Domino's Pizza created a website, they owned it. Ford Motor Company created a website, they owned it. Okay, so I just want people to remember, if you're ever talking with somebody and they're like, what is Web 1, Web 2, Web 3? Web 1, they create, they own. Web 2, we create. We create the YouTube videos. We create the podcast. We create the blogs. We create the pictures on Instagram. But guess who owns it? They do. They can shut you down. They can take over your account. You're a free user. Okay. So what happened right now is we are literally right here. We are between Web 2 and Web 3. And this is why some people online right now are realizing my marketing's not working anymore. How come, you know, 2 years ago I went on Facebook and I would do a live stream and I would get hundreds of views and now I get two? Okay. How come people aren't on the same social media platforms that they were anymore? How come people aren't just accepting cash anymore? You know, I went to an ice cream store in Michigan that said now accepting crypto. I'm like, what, in Michigan? My point is this, we are between Web 2 and Web 3 right now. And there's about ready to be the biggest shift that I've ever seen. And as I study history, that I've ever seen in the shortest amount of time. I mean, you're going to see things in the next 12 months that you're like, oh, wow.
Right.
So Web 3 now is we create, we own. We create, we own. So this is where you're starting to see what's called DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations right here. They're becoming their own mini government for projects. Mm. And it's no longer the corporate person. But anyway, just that row, hang on to it. And people
screenshot. They're actually asking you to remove the comment off the screen so they can make a screenshot of
it. Oh, my bad.
Hey. So you're good. I'm sure there's probably a lot more, right? But
hang on one second.
There we go. And that way, go ahead.
I might even remove the banner here. Hang on one second. We'll get the banner out of here. Ah, there you go.
There you go. Awesome.
So everybody, whoever wants that screenshot, share it anywhere. It's going to help people. All right.
Awesome.
What do you got?
I think that what we're leaning towards, 2020 set us all up for this. I'm going to kind of land the plane. We're moving up to an hour. We always come back if there's interest. And if you guys want us to dig deeper, right now would be a good time. If you have any questions or clarity about things that we've said or something that you want us to talk about before we close. But what does this mean to faith? What does this mean to us as Christians, as a church community? Should we just stay away from it because it's evil? Should we lean into it, or should we just pray for the people and move on with our lives? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Here's what I do know. I know that we're supposed to engage. Whenever Jesus came to this earth, he became a part of it, but not of it. And I believe with that, the books that Carrie is going to be giving away for free, it's going to help us to begin to think about these things. Pastors, if you want to get your pastor these books, we're going to take care of the shipping costs. Carrie's taking care of the book cost. And so what we want to encourage you to do is to not wait to begin to educate yourself with these things, especially if you have children, if you have young children, because they're coming up in this. And it's going to become a part of the everything that we do.
The same way you see a two-year-old holding an iPad.
Yes.
Today is.
Yeah. And I think that what makes it for the older people seem so foreign is because of these big goggles.
Goggles are going to look like this here in about a few months, you know, right. And you're going to have augmented reality where you're going to look at something. And Tony, I might look at you and it might say, as much as you want me to see, it might say Pastor, South Carolina, Father. Right. And, you know, so you're going to go up to people. And I mean, here's the pro. I'll be like, oh my gosh, Tony, you like Tennessee football. That's fantastic. I'm a Buckeye, you know? So you're going to be able to do business and speed of relationships very much faster, but yeah, there'll be negatives that happen as well, of course.
Yeah. So I think that the key is for us to become it. We have to honor the culture in which we live. And we have to be able to step into it, understanding this, where sin abounds, grace much more. Mm. And so where there is this great evil that's going to be unleashed as an opportunity through this, there's also going to be a huge opportunity of grace. There's going to be a huge opportunity for the body of Christ to show up and to become relevant. I'm not even going to go there, but I was even thinking like, man, if we had this, I could lay hands on somebody in India and they could feel the touch.
Oh yeah.
And just the point of contact, you know, I know that sounds weird, but hey.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, in some ways, in a positive way, grandparents are going to be able to hug their kids from miles away, you know? So there's going to be a lot of pros, but if you just jump in there, as Marty's saying, I've said this before, technology has outpaced ethics. Mm. It's no longer what if we could.
Yeah.
It's like, will we? And if you know technology, we've never paused. I mean, designer babies, I could go on and on where you're going to be able to engineer everything.
Well, and I just saw an interview with Elon Musk. I don't know if everybody knows that name right now. And they're working on individual robots for your home. So basically $20,000 robot that would take care of babysitting, take care of housework, take care of all of these things. And he, in this interview, he said that they should have a working model by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the reason why we're talking about this is a convergence of technologies. In the past, you've had virtual reality. I remember as a kid going to the mall and they had virtual reality. Mm-hmm. Augmented reality, Pokemon Go a few years ago, crypto that's been around for, you know, at least 2011. I think 2009, actually, Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto. But you have all these different streams, 4G, 3G, then 4G, then 5G. But what's happening, Tony, is it's all converging. And it's all converging at a time in our world where destabilization is happening with currency, government, truth, gender. And so I truly believe we're at this precipice where we do need lights. And, you know, again, if it's a book, fine. You know, they're free today. But this is going to give you essentially the courage and conviction. Because I'll tell you what, Tony, I was scared to go into the world. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, they pegged me to be a priest. Then I was going to be a missionary. Then I was going to be an Air Force chaplain. I mean, I wanted rules and I wanted black and white. And I'll tell you why, because I didn't want to have to lean on the Spirit.
Wow.
Because I didn't trust the Spirit, because I thought I've trusted the Spirit before and I've gotten hurt. And that's what I thought. But see, I think what really happened was I didn't listen to the Spirit. I listened to my emotions when I wasn't in check.
Right.
And so as a result, I kind of like said, I don't want anything that's gray. But I really think that the metaverse is going to take men and women, young people and old, that are lockstep, centered with Christ, but also integrated into culture. You look at Daniel, Joseph, Esther, Paul. You know, you look at the people that really moved the needle, Nehemiah. These were the people who were on the cutting edge of culture. Number two in the power in the whole world at the time. And that's what you were there the other day, but people laid hands on me and prayed for me. And I feel like I'm being called into this. I feel like other people here, I think we're supposed to create amazing things, but are there dangers? Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. And maybe some people should not engage in certain aspects.
Amen. Well, I think that I'm just sitting here thinking, whenever you think about the metaverse, it's something that basically we're all going to be forced to go into.
Oh yeah. You're going to go to get your gas. Just like today, my parents are like, I don't want to, or not my mom, but my dad's like, I don't want to put my credit card in anywhere, you know, but you will not be able to do business eventually. And I know what some people are saying, Mark of the Beast and this, you know, I don't think it's going to be that obvious. I think that it's going to be a setup. We're moving towards a world, you know, but I don't think we're going to be just tricked into it. I think that has to be a conscious choice.
Right. And I think this is all part of the end time narrative, of course. I mean, the enemy and God, all of it it's a part of the narrative. But here is the amazingly courageous perspective that we all need to have. And that is that Jesus came into the world. I guess you could look at that as being him coming into the metaverse. And
he did. He left one world and came into the next.
Came into another one. And then he said this. He said, John 16, he said, it's expedient. It's to your advantage that I go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit to be in you. Mm. And so regardless of the fact that the world's changing to where we have to go into it, we have the Holy Spirit that can come into us and give us power and give us peace and give us the provision that we need to be able to operate with victory and operate life to the full, no matter how difficult it becomes. And so my call, my urging, my appeal to you as a believer, to you as pastors, is let's lean into this opportunity and let's equip ourselves as a body of believers and let's become a force of impact in our world. Let's become relevant again. The church lost its relevance. Let's just admit that the church lost its voice because we tried to be like the world. And so it's time for us to engage with relevance because we have a reality that is greater than a metaverse. And we have the living spirit that dwells inside of us. So I'm going to give you the last word, Carrie. Let me make sure there's no questions that we need to address.
Yeah, I mean, as you're looking at that, we went 52 minutes. We went a lot of places. There's a lot more. Blockchain Life is literally a podcast that I do. I'll tell you what, Tony, it's hilarious because I just started it in late December saying, I want to learn more. And you saw the other day, we're now the top five blockchain podcasts in the world.
Wow.
And I have people, I'll tell you who I have coming on soon is a apologist who wrote the book Human 2.0. He works for Reasons to Believe. And his book is all about transhumanism and how there's dangers. And so I got that all the way to a guy who's creating personal artificial intelligence secretary for all of us, you know, to a 25-year-old metaverse architect. Like, I'm putting a lot of people in there because I got people loving God. I got people cussing. I got people loving God and cussing. You know, that's like, I got everybody. Because I feel like there's a lot of stuff I don't know in this area. And I'm hungry. I want to learn. And I do believe that authors have an incredible position right now. I mean, you see my shelves. It's everybody's books here. Vivian, Marty, you know, all these people here, Ricky, I saw, Judy. Yeah. But I think that as authors, you're creating IP, intellectual property, and you can take that. By the way, if you have an ebook, you're already in the metaverse. If you have an audiobook, you're already in the metaverse. When you are talking to someone's ear for 5 hours virtually, you're in the metaverse. But what has not happened yet is that authors, including me, we haven't leveraged our IP and stories yet within the metaverse to its full potential. So, you know, Igniting Souls Conference this year, very different. Mm-hmm. It's going to be breakouts. It's going to be workshops. It's going to be massive amount of speakers where you choose a track. Our tracks are wise authors, Web3 authors, influencers, entrepreneurs, and something else. I don't know. But anyway, I got it. But this year it's very different. Our podcast is different. I mean, here's the main thing I want people to leave with. The world has changed. Are the methods for reaching your audience changed as well? Because if not, that's where you're going to start losing it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But, you know, it's just my kids, you know, I'll just go back to that. So I encourage everyone just to lean in. Let's learn. Let's grow. Let's become lights in a dark place. Let's become salt that brings healing to a lot of wounds are going to come. There's already a lot of wounding that's in the world now, but this is going to bring even more. And so we have to engage as a body of Christ. I'll just say it one more time. But Carrie, I appreciate so much your time. And I thank you that you've accepted the call to be a forerunner, to be someone that is leading people to the right side of this transformation and this change that's happening in our culture. And so I appreciate very much your willingness, because you gave up a lot, I know. And you gave up a lot of comfort to be able to lean into a world that is still yet developing. And yet I commend you for following the Holy Spirit and being a front runner. So I appreciate you.
Well, thank you. And how about in our last 3 minutes, how about you say a prayer to all the people here? A lot of them are influencers, thought leaders, authors, but also the pastors, the churches. And, you know, there might be people that watch us that are think we're off, or, you know, they're not with us. And that's cool, too. I'm glad they've listened. But yeah, go ahead and pray.
Awesome. Father, we just come before you right now. We thank you that, Lord, that we can walk with confidence. Your word says, take heart because you have overcome the world. And so, Father, we follow the leader. We follow the victor. We put our trust in the one who never loses a battle. We put our trust in the one who is never behind. We put our trust in the one who, Lord, you supersede, you transcend above time and existence as we know it. And so, Father, we put our trust in you for this time in which we live. And God, I know that if you've chosen us to be alive at this time, then, Lord, it was divinely designed for that to happen because you equipped us for this time. And so, Father, I pray for Carrie. I pray for the influencers that are on this broadcast. I pray for pastors and Christian leaders. I pray for parents and teachers and coaches. And Lord, we ask that, God, that you would empower them with wisdom. We pray that they would have grace. We pray that they would have courage to be able to speak up, even when the world says, be quiet, even when the world says, we don't belong. I pray that, God, that there would just come an awakening in our spirits to say, no, it's not that we belong, but Lord, we have been sent here. We have been commissioned for such a time as this. And Father, we pray for your power to go forward. And Lord, as your word says, you created a church that the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against. So I pray, give us back the domains that the enemy has taken from us, and let us once again bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow. All right, my friends. Awesome. And we dropped a link in for your church too. And listen, folks, we're here. Let us know what you need. If we need to go again, we'll do this. Thanks for spreading the word. Thanks, Tony, for the push.
Yeah, thank you. We look forward to it. Let us know if we want to do it again.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.